Welcome to another episode of the Alter Your Health podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. If this is your first time listening, hello and welcome. We value your time and energy and hope you receive a lot from tuning in. As a listener-supported show, we rely on you to help us grow. We'd be so grateful if you share the show or a favorite episode with a friend or fellow health seeker. Living a healthy and nourishing life doesn't always come easily, especially in today's crazy world. But that's why we're here, doing what we love, hopefully helping you along with information and inspiration that fuels your health pursuits. If you're looking for more support, consider subscribing to the monthly meal guide membership. Just $11 per month gets you access to a weekly meal guide filled with healing and delicious whole food plant-based recipes, along with invitations to our regularly scheduled support calls where we can connect, answer questions, and keep the good vibes flowing in our healthy lives. You can learn more at www.alter.health/meal-guides. And if you're looking for more in-depth support, check out our other services. We offer both one-on-one consulting as well as educational programs. All of our current offerings are listed at www.alter.health. Our ultimate goal is to empower you to heal yourself. Keeping with that theme, let's dive into today's show.
Hello and welcome to this week's Medicinal Monday. I'm Dr. Susanna Alter.
And it's Dr. Ben here.
And we're both naturopathic doctors who empower individuals to heal themselves with whole food, plant-based nutrition, and mind-body medicine.
And we're really excited about today's episode on the Alter Your Health podcast, where we're going to talk all about your skin, supporting dry skin naturally. And excuse me, Susanna. And we got some background noise because I forgot to close the YouTube thing. Because for those of you who don't know, we do stream live to YouTube as well as our Facebook group for the time being. But anyways, yes, we're going to talk about healing dry skin naturally. And I think this is an issue that a lot of people suffer with to various degrees. And a lot of people, it just becomes kind of their normal. And we hear it time and time again about just moisturizing and relying on those moisturizers. And while there's nothing inherently wrong or bad about doing that, even though, of course, we need to point out that a lot of conventional moisturizers, if you will, do exacerbate underlying issues related to dry skin. But if we're, you know, moisturizing and relying upon that, then maybe we got to get curious about what's going on and start healing things from within, but also addressing the issue from on top as well. So from within, from without, we're going to be talking about it all.
Yes. And I've also heard from people that they think that this dry skin has something to do with a plant-based diet, that it has something to do with eating a diet that is lower in fat compared to what they were eating before. Oh, yeah. And so also in today's episode, we're going to explain how that's really not the case. Really, as we're eating whole food plant-based, which yes, is naturally lower in fat compared to other diets, that's not the cause. That's not really the issue behind dry skin.
That's right. Yeah, I forgot about that. I forgot about that kind of theory and this idea of, oh, well, you know, your cellular membranes on your skin are made up of fatty acids. So we got to eat lots and lots of fatty acids to replenish that cellular membrane. And while that is true, dry skin is not a fat deficiency. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. That being said, maybe other nutritional deficiencies could reveal themselves as skin issues. So we're not kind of denying the whole deficiency idea. But of course, those of you who've tuned in to prior episodes know that when we eat enough whole plant foods, when we, you know, cover our bases and get our daily requirements, we're lacking nothing when we focus on whole plants. So, and also maybe, so that's the first big point, is that plant-based eating is not a cause of dry skin. Even though maybe you've been told that, there's no science to suggest that plant-based eaters have a fatty acid deficiency and therefore have dry skin. But the second thing that I think is important to point out is that dry skin can be a normal, natural effect or consequence to changing our environment. And I know I experienced that, like the times where I do little bit drier skin is when the seasons are changing. And when the seasons are changing, there's a lot going on in our physiology, right? One thing is that our microbiome on top of our skin, which we'll talk a little bit more about, is adapting to its new ecosystem and environment. The other times when I might experience dry skin, or when it's kind of normal and natural to some degree, is when we travel, you know, from a more humid climate to a drier climate, or vice versa, for that matter. So those are important things to know.
Yeah. And it's really why we brought it up this week, because we are entering winter.
Yeah.
The winter solstice is how many, just maybe a week, 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
And so you might be experiencing a little bit more dry skin. But, you know, if this dry skin does persist, then we got to look at what's underlying that.
Yeah.
And so our next point here, I mean, at first I think it's important to distinguish between skin that's just a little bit dry and also other skin conditions that include dryness, things like eczema and psoriasis and such. Let's just talk briefly about those more inflammatory skin conditions that do have that dry quality about them. They are inflammatory skin conditions. And while people really like to focus on skin when treating them, when supporting them and healing, the truth is that those inflammatory skin conditions are stemming from within, stemming from deeper systemic inflammation that is actually coming from the gut.
Yeah.
Systemic inflammation generally starts in the gut.
That's where, you know, maybe those of you who haven't gone through the whole food plant-based anti-inflammatory challenge, you're able to do so by going to www.alter.health. But in that challenge, we're providing the education and understanding of where inflammation really comes from, like on a kind of systemic level. And it is those insults that are generally happening within our gut if we're not eating properly, if we're eating pro-inflammatory foods, as well as chemicals and preservatives and pesticides and herbicides and things like that. But yeah, that can set the stage for systemic inflammation. And then we experience that, whether it's on our skin and our joints, so on and so forth. But I would say that maybe chronic dry skin, even if it's not a diagnosis of eczema or dermatitis or psoriasis, could have a systemic inflammatory component as well. And, you know, focusing on gut health is always an important thing to do to balance our immune system and inflammatory pathways.
Right. I mean, you talked in the beginning here about how we do need to have plenty of vitamins and minerals to support skin health. And if we even have a little bit of inflammation in our gut, we're not going to be absorbing those nutrients as well. And our skin is one of the first organs that's really going to show that, because our skin isn't quite as vital as some of our other organs, like our heart and things.
Exactly. So yes, addressing gut health and kind of that chronic inflammatory pathway is really important, but maybe now getting into the more low-hanging fruit, root causes of dry skin, the first one being dehydration. And this one is pretty common sense. You probably have heard it before, that if you have dry skin, maybe it would help to drink some water. And that is entirely true. And when we're talking about reversing chronic dehydration and reversing chronic dry skin, we're really talking about optimizing cellular hydration. So not just drinking 8 ounces of water today, 8 ounces of water or 8 glasses of water per day, that is, but making sure the water that we are drinking is properly mineralized so that it goes into our cells and not is just flushed down the toilet.
Yeah. That is such a huge one.
Yeah.
And that's often the first thing I suggest for people who do have chronic dry skin, is to really optimize hydration in that way. Another big piece is also talking about the microbiome of our skin. A lot of people think microbiome, they think gut health, but we actually have all sorts of microbes living on our skin as well. And those microbes create an ideal, optimal environment to create our ideal barrier, ideal skin health.
Yeah, it just is the same as true within our gut. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about that microbiome of the digestive system protecting the single cell layer that is the interface between you, your human body and the outside world, which is the inside of your intestinal tract, that same environment is maintained on our skin. Well, it's not the same environment. It's not your intestines, but it's that single cell layer thick that is coated with microbes that are creating that kind of biofilm and maintaining our harmonious environment on the surface of your skin. So this leads us to consider things like excessive hand washing, especially with antibacterial soaps, moisturizers. Oftentimes, yes, they are moisturizing our skin, but in the process, they are also disrupting that vulnerable microbiome on the surface of our skin. And then there's all the other lotions and potions and topical ointments and fragrances and perfumes and body care products and whatnot.
Definitely. Exactly. And to just go a little bit more into really why these moisturizers and things can disrupt that microbiome, it's because many of them are alkaline in nature, meaning that they shift the pH of our skin when applied to the skin. And the microbiome has an ideal pH that it likes to live and thrive in. And when we're constantly putting alkaline topicals on our skin, it doesn't really give the microbiome a chance to thrive in the way that it was designed to.
Yeah. So I always get a little turned upside down when we're talking about the alkalinity of the inside of our body and the acidity mm-hmm. of the outside of our body. So that's mm-hmm. kind of just a brain twister. But yeah, you know, alkalinity topically is not necessarily a good thing, whereas acidity internally is not necessarily a good thing.
Yeah.
To kind of clarify any confusion that might be going on in your brain. Mm-hmm. So the topical thing, you know, we got to be mindful of what's in our topical products. What we'll talk about, you know, at the end here, some topical moisturizers that could be okay. But first, another real obstacle for people, which is so often overlooked, and that is the excessive application of hot water on your skin, whether it's hot water on your hands, again, with antimicrobial soaps, or hot water in the shower with, you know, scrubbing your body with other soaps and detergents and whatnot. But what that hot water does, yes, it feels good, especially in the wintertime. It's like, oh, I feel like I just love that hot shower and it's so relaxing. But what that hot water does is when you exit the shower, all of the pores on your body are open and you are dumping moisture out of your skin. And not only are you dumping moisture, but you're also dumping heat because all of the blood is also at the surface of your skin. So then you grab your towel and you dry off and you're kind of like you're warm kind of superficially, but you're kind of chilly on the inside because all of your blood is at the surface of your skin. So you've heard us maybe talk before, or maybe you've heard from other folks, the power of cold water application. And what the cold water does, just ending the shower with cold, is it drives all of the blood back to the core of your body, and it also closes your pores so that all of the moisture within your skin is kept in your skin. And I know that's like a total game changer for me and my experience of moisturization in my skin. Anytime I do, you know, in the rare occasion that I exit, I don't remember the last time I ended a shower with hot, but sometimes I do get out of a hot bath without a good cold shower. And whenever I do, I feel dry. Mm-hmm. I feel like I am totally dried out. And this is a good time, maybe, if you are coming out of the hot shower and you forget to do the cold plunge, you forget to do the cold blast, this is a great time to apply the natural healthy moisturizers to kind of the open pores of the skin and reestablish that healthy barrier.
Yeah. And we'll talk about those in a minute. But just to point out that a few weeks ago, we actually had a podcast episode talking about the benefits of cold showers or ending on cold. You don't have to take a full long cold shower, just end your hot shower on cold. I see a comment here, but the hot water feels so good. Yeah.
Not as good as the cold.
You're actually, believe it or not, and I know some of you won't believe me when you hear this, but you feel less chilled exiting a shower where you end on cold versus exiting a shower where you end on hot.
Infinitely times so. Yes. So give it a try. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's going to be different, but it is so good. So good for your body, mind, and soul.
Yes. Yeah. And then also, I feel like there was one other thing I wanted to say about that, but then it just left my mind. So,
well, you know, if you do, yeah, go back and listen to the cold shower podcast mm-hmm. from a month or so ago, if you've got more questions coming up about it.
Yes.
But yeah, we can end now talking about those natural moisturizers that we can use mm-hmm. that are okay from time to time and are not going to disrupt our natural ecosystem on our skin. And those are a short list.
Yes. Yeah. So really the one oil that we really like, well, we like a few oils, but the oil that is the most similar to the natural oil that our skin produces, also known as sebum, is jojoba oil. And if you think about using these organic cold-pressed oils on the skin, one of the reasons why they don't disrupt the microbiome or anything like that is because oils are fatty acids. Fatty acids are naturally little bit acidic, not alkaline. So we can see here we're putting on an application that's not going to be disrupting mm-hmm. the pH of the skin.
And just to reiterate that, it was jojoba oil, J-O-J-O-B-A. I think you said it like super quickly and it jojoba.
Jojoba oil. Jojoba oil.
Jojoba oil.
Yes.
So that's kind of the best moisturizer. You know, sometimes coconut oil is a little bit heavy, right? Mm-hmm. But that's a common one. It's not going to totally disrupt your microbiome, right? Same thing with sesame oil. Mm-hmm. There's other oils that can be used topically, but jojoba is the most kind of in alignment with our natural physiology.
Right.
And then I think it's also helpful to maybe point out that some people in some cases might benefit also from using a product with like beeswax in it. Beeswax is a common ingredient in all sorts of different topical balms and stuff. Beeswax, generally beeswax and some oil, and then infused with other herbs or ingredients and maybe some essential oils or something like that. And those sort of products are great as well, because A, they're not going to disrupt our natural microbiome. And then the beeswax does help to create a little bit firmer of a barrier that allows the skin to heal if there is some sort of vulnerability that's needing to be healed.
Exactly. Yeah. And so we tend to make our own balms at home. I saw there's a question, any special brand you like to use? In terms of the oils, no, just as long as it's organic and cold pressed. One balm that's coming to mind is from Wise Women Herbals. It's called the all-purpose balm. It has some calendula and comfrey in there. So that's a nice one. And we can include that link in the show notes here.
Yeah. And then there's another question about aloe vera, which of course is a very common herbal remedy for skin issues, mainly burns and sunburns and stuff. And aloe vera, yeah, it's very soothing. So if there is like a burn or something that needs to be soothed, then I would consider using aloe vera. Again, you know, a lot of aloe vera products, by the way, have a lot of junk in them. So it's always an opportunity to look at the ingredients list of things that are going not only in your body, but on your body, and educate yourself on some of the toxic ingredients. And maybe we can talk about that another time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, aloe vera can be great for kind of the real irritation, but mainly the burns.
Yeah, I don't think of aloe whenever I've applied it. It's sure. never really helped quench dry skin for me personally. Yeah. I need to look a little bit more into really why that is. But yeah, we tend to go for the oils more, the oils mixed with the balms and mixed with the beeswax.
I tend to go for the cold plunge first.
Right.
And that hydration. Also, and this conversation, I don't know if you would agree, Susanna, but I think this conversation also translates pretty well into hair, right, as well, right? Dry hair. Mm-hmm. There's maybe more nuances with regard to dry hair, but we can get in similar cycles of requiring conditioners and moisturizers for our hair and scalp.
Yes, that's what I wanted to say earlier.
Okay.
Thank you for reminding me. The other thing is if we're constantly washing our skin and scrubbing away the sebum and the oil, our skin has to actually, well, sorry, that's more related to acne, but I'm so used to talking about acne as well. But anyway,
you can complete. You're leaving us all hanging.
Sorry, but yes, when we're constantly washing, it messes with our skin's balance of oil production. And in the term, we see this more in terms of oily skin for face. It can actually create too much oil production. You know, might be different in the rest of the body.
It's true. People can have oily but also dry skin.
Mixed skin, right?
That's definitely a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So long story short, with regard to washing and stuff, it's like, yeah, we need to wash our hands before we eat and after we go to the bathroom and stuff like that. But
and on cold. Even when you're washing your hands, and on cold.
Yeah. For sure. You know, wash with cold water. Why not? But also maybe, you know, and yeah, it's controversial, but maybe breaking the cycle of the excessive washing, you know, you can wash your hands too much. You certainly can. And it will reliably cause dry skin and disrupt that microbiome. And the same is true for the rest of our body. So like, yeah, you know, take a shower a day or maybe, you know, if you're really dirty, but I think a lot of people shower like twice a day with hot water and lots of soap and shampoo and conditioner every single time. And it feels good and we enjoy it, but it's kind of wrecking our ecosystem that is adapting and evolving on our skin.
Yeah. And I just want to add too, for those who are more interested in acne and facial skincare, we have a podcast we recorded quite some time ago. I think it's episode 100 or 101. It's right around there where we talk about healing acne naturally. And actually, it has to do with washing your face less. And actually, I don't use any moisturizer on my skin at all. I love my skin. It's not too dry. It's not too oily.
It's nice.
It's nice.
And I love my skin too. It's I honestly used to suffer with dry skin for sure. And can't say that I do at all.
Mm.
So even in dry Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
So any other last notes or announcements, Dr. Susanna?
Sure thing. Well, I always just like to put out there, we've made some changes recently. One of the big ones is that we're offering a weekly meal guide for people who want inspiration, new recipes each week, and also want to see what we eat in a week, how much we eat, and what kind of structure. And so that's something that you can opt in for as little as $11 a month. So you get 4 weekly meal guides. You know, there's 4 weeks in a month.
And also, but in addition to the $11 a month, starting in the new year, we're going to be hosting a monthly call where we will maybe have a topic to discuss, but then just take questions and check-ins and, you know, build that community. And we're looking forward to it. So you can learn more by visiting us on Locals. And if you're like, what the heck is Locals? It's something that you're about to find out about. Mm-hmm. So go to alterhealth.locals.com. That's all you got to type in, alterhealth.locals.com. And you can follow us and be connected to our community there, but then also have an opportunity to get those meal guides for just $11 a month.
Right. And if you're wanting some more in-depth support to really reverse disease and optimize health through whole food plant-based eating and mind-body medicine, check out our Thrive on Plants program. That is how we work with individuals in a group setting and a deep educational setting. So you can check that out at alter.health/thrive-on-plants.
So thanks so much for tuning in. We hope you have a beautiful rest of your day or week ahead, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time.
Bye for now.